I'm going to read from a well-known passage, Hebrews 11, but I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. So if you're, you may find it slightly different from the NIV. I have looked at both. Sometimes the New Living Translation says more, I think, than perhaps the NIV does. But I'm going to read quite a lot of the chapter, not all of it. First two verses, and then we'll go on to continue at verse 17. So this is Hebrews 11. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in days of old because of their faith. And verse 17 says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, though God had promised him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham assumed that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was said by faith that Isaac blessed his two sons, Jacob and Esau. He had confidence in what God was going to do in the future. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. And it was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, confidently spoke of God's bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. He was so sure of it that he commanded them to carry his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid of what the king might do. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be treated as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of the Messiah than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the great reward that God would give him. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. He was not afraid of the king. Moses kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle the blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as they were on dry land. But when the Egyptians followed, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab, prostitute, did not die with all the others in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Well, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith, of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Some were mocked and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stoning, and some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went out in skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over the deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people we have mentioned received God's approval because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had far better things in mind for us, that we would also benefit them, for they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. Wow. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask that you would take these words, speak to us through them, speaker and listeners alike, and help us to hear your voice, to understand what you are saying. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Many of you, most of you, I imagine, have read this book several times, this letter to the Hebrew Christians, and therefore you'll be familiar with it, in general at least. And you will know what I'm going to tell you just as a background, because we need a context. Whenever we're looking at God's word, we need a context to understand where this is going. And these were Hebrew Christians. That is, they were good, God-fearing Jews who had heard the message of the Messiah and had come to Jesus. And that meant that they suffered great persecution. Not only did they suffer from the persecution of the world and the Romans and the pagans, but they also suffered from their own people. The Jewish people themselves turned against them because they didn't agree that Jesus was the Messiah. So they really suffered great persecution. They lost their families, most of them. They lost their work very often. They lost status in their communities. They lost their community altogether because they were ostracized. Some of them were imprisoned, some were tortured, and some of them died as martyrs to the faith. It was a difficult, tragic time. When I was preparing this, Jan and I looked at this and we said, is history repeating itself today? Some of you will know, Canon Andrew White, the vicar of Baghdad, has reported to have said, the Christian church is being wiped out in the Middle East. That's what the enemy was trying to do with the early church. And now he's trying to do it again with the church today. But back to the Hebrew Christians, many of them said, look, this is too hard. Let's return to the old faith. At least we go back to our people and we can resurrect some kind of a life. And this letter was written, we're not sure who by, but it was written to these Hebrew Christians under desperate persecution to tell them to hold on to the truth. Don't go back. Hold fast, no matter what it may cost, because Christ is not just the better way, he's the only way. Faith in Jesus is life-changing, as we talked about earlier. You, in this church, are about to embark on a new phase of the Stoke Green Baptist Church community. Well, some of you are going to be sleeping through it, but the rest of you, I suspect, will manage to hold fast. Don't worry about it. Let her sleep. She needs to sleep. Well, that's all right. Don't worry. Okay. Listen, I said at the beginning, you are a people of faith. That's what we are. As followers of Christ, we are a people of faith. And you particularly have been faithful to what you have seen and heard and understood to give you to do here. Over the years, you've developed links with your local schools and people. You've worked with Open Book. You've been worked with Messy Church. How many were the last one? 140? Is that right? Something like that? Yeah? Okay. And the three feeder schools for Stoke Academy have been worked on, and you've developed terrific relationships with them. And for some years, you've been praying to get into the senior school. And God miraculously has opened the door for you to do that. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, God answers prayer. But he also answers the faith of his people who work and work and work according to what God has given them to do. And Jan and I are concerned today just to encourage you. We want to encourage you. We're so excited for you. We both want to be here, but we can't be because you've got a new month coming, which is great. But we are so excited to see what God will do. And it's happening as a result of your being a faithful people of faith. So as you peer forward to the future, we want to encourage you to continue to have faith in the God who has given you the vision in the first place. What's it that
the Hebrew writer says, so that you may be confident and assured that what we hope for is going to happen. What you hope for is going to happen. That's faith in the work of God. Your faith in Jesus has changed you. David said it brought him a wife. That's changed him. God changes the people whom he calls. And your faith has changed you, but now your faith is continuing to change the community around you. And that's what God is calling you to do, to be the change agents for the community, not just you. And this work is about to shift up several gears, okay? You think you've been working hard? You ain't seen nothing yet, okay? Some of you will think, oh, thank God we've got a pastor now. Now we can sit back and let him do the work. Let me tell you, that's not why he's coming. Oh, well, that's all right. The youth work, that's great. I shall be able to take a sabbatical because there's a youth and children's worker coming and he'll or she'll do whatever I could do and do it much better so I can take it, hang up my boots. No chance. Both these people are equipped to be catalysts, to train, encourage, and strengthen you to do more, not less. Don't be disappointed. The God whom you have faith in is able to do this. He's able to do it and willing. Excited?
Yes, John.
Some of you are. Some of you go, oh no, give me the strength. Well, after a summer holiday, maybe you'll feel better about it, okay? Okay. But for some, standing on the edge of an unknown future is a bit nerve-wracking and might even be a bit scary. I remember we were in Thailand for a little while, Jan and I, and we looked after a church that in Chiang Mai that had largely missionaries attending it. It was a large church, and we were making some quite significant changes to the governance of the church and the way the church operated, because God had invited us to come to do that work. And one of the missionaries there was a lovely man from America, and he came to see us very troubled. He said, look, he said, John, you don't understand this situation. He said, we have left our homeland where we were comfortably established with two daughters to come to a community that we don't speak the language of. Our daughters are going to a school that they are not yet, they don't know the people there. We're in an environment that is totally foreign to us, and we're starting a new work amongst a totally foreign group of people. And he said the one saving grace that was the church, because the church was English speaking and we knew what we were doing and we knew how it worked and everything was fine. And now you and Jan come in and change it. And it was lovely, really, because bless him, he wasn't blaming us. He was just explaining why he was going to have to go. He went down the road to another church, which was going through less change than we needed to go through in that particular church. Praise the Lord, there was another one down the road, but that's how it is. And for some of us, change is not a good thing. Most churches don't like change. You know that, don't you? But God works through change. God works powerfully through your willingness to step out with him. And you've already seen it. And you've stepped out with him. It's amazing. Gary told us, well, he's told you, hasn't he, at the church meeting, already you have a year and a quarter, maybe more now, I don't know, a year and a quarter of this payment that was extra payment that you didn't have for this youth and children's worker. That's great. You're stepping out in faith to follow the vision that God has given you, to go through the door that God's opened for you. Hallelujah. God will bless that. No question. Okay, let's now just take a little while and look at what the Bible says about this thing called faith. We're a people of faith. We need to understand something of that. And the Bible talks quite a lot about faith, as you would imagine it would. One of the things I love, Perhaps I shouldn't admit this, but there was a time when, when I thought I'd come to God and God, it's up to you now, I've done my bit. The arrogance of the man makes me quake, actually. I have since repented, I promise you. But the idea that somehow or other, well, here we are, you know, it's up to you, God, now. That's not a way forward at all, okay? And I should have learned that by reading this. God saved you by his special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. You see, God will not allow us or anybody else to take credit for something that he has done. And you know, we are not saved because of our goodness or badness or just because of what we do or what we say or how many times we go to church. We are saved through his grace. That's his favor, his undeserved favor. And how's that come? What's the means of that? Well, it's when we believed by faith. And how did we come to believe? Well, I just worked it out for myself, didn't I? You know, and I came to the conclusion that it was true. No, you didn't. You can't take. You know, we are not able to say, I'm a giant of the faith. No, you're not. You have a giant of God. Yes, undoubtedly. But you have a gift of faith, a gift that God has given. So you may not boast, I may not boast, but we need, like any gift, to use that gift. The second thing we see in Hebrews itself is that employing that gift pleases God. Now, unfortunately, that's it. I've managed to lose Hebrews. It's great, isn't it? You know. Hold on a second. That's it. And in verse 6, it says this. So, see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Turn that around. If you want to please God, he is pleased when you employ his gift of faith in your life and the life that he's given you. You know, as you step out in faith, you confirm and you publicize your dependence on him and his resources. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, the Bible says. And as you step out in that trust, even though sometimes it looks as though you're just stepping off a cliff, God is pleased by such faith. And I'm not suggesting we should all go out and step off cliffs, you understand that, don't you? Just in case anybody was thinking that. Okay, so faith is a gift of God. It pleases God. Faith pleases God. And faith, James has a lot to say about faith. This is a book that challenges me every time I read it. And he says in verse 18, chapter 2, he says, I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds, but I will show you my faith through my good deeds. I like that. I can't see your faith. You see, we were talking about, you know, germs and Jesus. Yeah, I can't see Jesus in you because I can't see you yet doing anything that has changed your life according to Jesus' way of living. Interesting, isn't it? And then verse 26, just as the body is dead without a spirit, so also faith is dead without good deeds. The people of faith. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is often called the hall of faith. All those great, and I use the word now advisedly, the giants of the faith, because they stepped out well beyond their comfort zone. And in that way, James shows us that actually we as people of faith need to be in line with those people in the Old Testament that Hebrews 11 tells us about. And you have done that. Do you know that? During the last years, you have done just that. You poured out your energies, your time, your prayer, and now your monies as well, okay? More money here too. Into fulfilling God's purposes. Like Abraham, Moses, Joshua, you believed and then you acted on that belief. And now you're about to see the fruit and the harvest of that willingness. Because faith is not passive. Do you know, there are a lot of people who will tell you, oh, well, yes, I believe. So what are you doing about it? Oh, I'm not doing anything about it. I just need to believe. That's fine. That's not faith. That's presumption. Okay, faith is an active pursuit of God's word and God's will. Secondly, fourthly, you will all know that faith can be spelt differently than F-A-I-T-H. It can be spelt R-I-S-K. Because you see, true faith is always risky. Because true faith takes us out of our comfort zones. Moses said, no, don't send me, Lord, send somebody else. I know what he means. Sometimes it would be nice for somebody else to go. But faith is a risky business. And you took that risk by taking Open Book into the schools where perhaps the schools weren't too fond initially. You had to break into those schools and take that. You've taken that step of faith to go to messy church, and you've made a success of it. Not every church has done that. A, not every church has stepped out with it, but certainly some have stepped out with it and not made a success of it, for whatever reason, I don't know. But all these, as you have taken your steps, have been a testament to your God, our God, being in you, and you being a people of faith. Now here comes the spoiler. Because you see, one of the things we learn in Hebrews 11 is that faith, true faith, is always tested in all sorts of ways, and sometimes even through persecution to martyrdom. Now, I don't expect that to happen in Stoke Green necessarily, but I do expect that when we step out with God, we are willing to accept that what that means is whatever he will deliver, because he is able to deliver us out of it. I love that, the way it talks of Abraham and his son. He said it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him, who had received the promises. Abraham assumed that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. Of course he did. And I love that. He knew God as you know God and are learning about him every day. But testing a vision sometimes, testing of faith, can be really quite painful. And yet, if you will hold fast, you will know the delight of the Lord in that process. And I'm stepping on dangerous ground here, Gary, but Talitha Koum is such an example. Now, I don't know the details, but I do know that over many years, people had prayed, given, spent time, and done a huge amount of work to bring Talitha Koum into existence. And then, when everything seemed to be in place, and everything seemed to be go, the green light went red. And everybody said, what's going on? Why, God, have you done this? And then within a very short space of time, God said, not that way, but this way. And suddenly, Talitha Koum is up and running in a slightly adjusted way, but that was God's way to take it off to this way, because that's where the vision was to be. And God tested the people that were involved, and many of you were too, I know. God tested the people and said, will you go where I want you to go, not where you want to go? And these people, well, you know the story. And it may well be that God will cause your vision to be tested in that way. And you may have to adjust your vision because of what God shows you along the way. Just like the Old Testament faithful and the New Testament saints, Paul encourages us all to press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of you. Don't you love that? Christ has taken hold of you for a purpose, and Christ will bring that purpose to be if you will press on with him. He has promised to do so. That's fantastic. That goes for you individually. It goes for you as a fellowship. How marvelous is that? Yeah. Hold on to what you have in Christ and let God lead you into this vision together. In a few weeks, you will have certainly a new pastor. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. In some more weeks, perhaps, you will have a new youth and children's worker. And then you will begin to step outside your comfort zone even further to reach where God wants to take you. But be encouraged. Keep going. Because as you keep going, God will be glorified and you will be so excited. And God will see his will in place. Isn't it wonderful that God would use people like us for his purpose? Don't you think that? I'm every day I wake up and I am so blessed that God should choose to talk, to call me. Why me? Anybody think that? But he has, and I want to reassure you, Jan and I want to reassure you, that he has called you for such a time as this, and the time is coming to fruition where the harvest of all your work over the years will begin to produce a harvest here. You will see people coming because people will want to know of the Jesus who is the focus of the people of faith here in Stoke Green. So, God bless you, God keep you, God watch over you, and God see you to the fullness of what he wants to bring here to you. Thank you. God bless.